We're going to talk here a little bit about continuing to bring you more documentation of Let It Burn and this policy, which is essentially, like I mentioned before, about replacing what the timber industry used to until it was, strangled by the green, wet dream of, environmentalism. Yeah. And that's what's going on, except they burn it and bill the taxpayer. That's right. Essentially, how this ends up working. Now, Mr. X, you want to start our conversation this morning with your research with the Kate Brown story from OPB.
Right.
Isn't that kind of where you want to go? This having to do with the creation of the commission.
It's kind of like the pathway to really put this all together existed in the past week of, understanding. Okay, so Kate Brown came to town, and she released this, and the headline read on one of the articles here, Governor Kate Brown announces new council to assess Oregon wildfire response. Okay? So it starts off, Oregon Governor Kate Brown signed an executive order Wednesday creating a new council that will examine the efficacy of the state response to wildfire. The Oregon Wildfire Response Council is charged with reporting their findings no later than September 30th.
Okay, now, okay, we're going to think logically about this, folks. Kate Brown says that the Oregon Wildfire Response Council charged with reporting the findings, at the end of September. So what they're going to do is that Kate's going to find out, have you been burnt by that time?
All right.
Because there's actually no plan here.
Well, if she was interested in stopping the effects of these fires, okay, we can transfer the information to her immediately, okay, to the person that she selected. What I have a problem with is this goes on. Each season, the Rogue Valley in southwestern Oregon has borne the brunt of it. Fire here threatens our community. Smoke compromises our health and our local economy. Certainly suffers, Brown said. The governor named Matt Donegan as chair of the council.
Now, who's Donegan?
Donegan has a background in forestry and timber investment management. He also previously served as president of the Oregon Board of Higher Education.
Is that the state university?
That's the university system. Mm. Okay, so now you're back into where she is literally falling into the sustainable development model of the consensus system to do this. Now you go back to the printed word. So that article takes you now to the printed word of the document that we're going to discuss, which is the decision notice from the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
I'm holding it up to the Facebook Live camera just so you can see that it is real.
And finding of no significant impact and finding of non-significant impact forest plan amendments. And this is called the fire amendment. Okay? So now this goes back to 2010. You have to understand as you bridge through this, you go to 95 came the first policy declaration.
Right.
Then you have the strategic amendments to that, and then you have the decision to do what? To go ahead and, fully go after this whole thing. So when you look at this article, this document will be put forth with Bill, and there should be also a page that takes you to the USDA with a whole listing of different documents that you can read. But if you truly want to know and understand this, I'm going to take you to page 3. This is where, Bill found
it interesting. Okay, so this is page DN3? Okay.
You're right. Now, this is the first area. It's only the third page in. It's a 17-page document. But I got to go here first. As stated in the environmental assessment, these amendments do not imply a let it burn or no response strategy to unplanned fire. All fires, whether planned or unplanned, will be responded to in an appropriate manner. These amendments allow fire managers to consider an additional tool in managing a fire should have the fire have the potential to benefit resources and meet desired conditions.
Now, here's the problem with that statement, though. They say it doesn't imply let it burn, but then that last statement there means let it burn.
That's right.
They're talking out of both sides of their mouth.
That's what the whole thing is. They just don't want to call it let it burn.
Because they realize that we, the people, being destroyed, having our lives destroyed every summer, having our economy destroyed every summer.
Well, I got to go back now to the Kate Brown thing.
All right.
You have to understand that all of these things are combined with the non-governmental organization through the consensus process. Now, the consensus, through their best available science, is let's burn everything. Okay.
And she also granted what $1.5 million to
$1.5 million
to the collaborative,
to the Rogue Forest Restoration Partnership. And it says here, the money will be used by Southern Oregon Forest Restoration Collaborative and partners to move forward with restoration and fuels management work in the region.
Well, restoration and fuels management means burning it.
Well, fuels management is what I found the other document, the USDA document under, is fuels management. So you start understanding that this is a point-to-point in the background that few people, if you just thought about it, because we look at it as citizens saying, how can they do this? Okay, how can this be allowed to go on? You see, government has the option to use this consensus-based non-governmental organization thing to bring forth a way of introducing the governance that they want to achieve through individual people, okay? John Kitzhaber said it best, Oregon is ungovernable. When he came back, it was governable through this type of model. The reality to this whole thing comes down to is that government maintains a fiduciary obligation and duty to protect the health, safety, and welfare. And that is addressed in this document.
Okay, let's talk about how it's addressed. Let me take a quick break here, Ed. Can we do that?
Sure.
We'll take a quick break and talk about how even within the Forest Service's own documents here, the fire amendment that we're talking about,
right,
which we're going to post.
Right.
It does talk about health safety, but how could it be talking about health and safety and the welfare of the people when it is clearly being ignored in the summer?
If they are coordinating their plans of management with non-governmental organizations that don't have that same fiduciary obligation and duty to protect the health, safety, and welfare.
Oh, so when Kate Brown grants $1.5 million to the collaborative doesn't give a crap then about really the health, safety, and welfare of the people.
When you read their strategy, takes you to the idea of burning for restoration. And all it's going back to is the headline that was in today's paper about the commission, the county commission adopting this proclamation yesterday. And we'll touch on that when you're...
Okay. 747, okay. We'll be back with more from Mr. X. And also happy to take your calls on this too, 770-5633. Our friends at Jay Austin & Company, gold, silver buyers, Bitcoin exchange. Yep, that's still going on there too. Ended up purchasing some Digibit the other day. I'm still speculating with a little bit of Mad Men. You can certainly talk with Mark and the whole crew about that, and they'll have good recommendations if that's what you wish to. But if you're into the buying and the selling of the tangibles, Rolex watches, very much in demand right now. If you have one you'd like to sell and you want the maximum dollar for it, bring it to Jay Austin. They'll let you know what that's worth. And they're also putting out an alert and at least a suggestion when it comes to diamonds as an investment. If you have some larger stones, what's going on here? I had mentioned this late last year that there are some changes coming to the diamond market because lab-created diamonds from De Beers and other lab-created stones, they're starting to bring the prices down. So if you're wearing one, enjoy it. But if you have some that you don't wear and you don't have sentimental value and you might want to look at selling at this time and trust the recognized experts to get that best value too. Jay Austin & Company, gold, silver buyers, Bitcoin exchange. It's Tuesday through Friday, 10 to 5, both locations, Ashland, I-5 exit 14, 1632 Ashland Street next to Senior Sam's in downtown and Grants Pass right next door to Evangel. It's on 6th between G and H.
Ever wanted to speak another language? Babbel can get you confidently speaking Spanish, French, or German within weeks.
I just started learning Spanish with Babbel, and it's really helping my pronunciation.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas? Ha ha, I got it! I wish I had tried Babbel sooner.
See why Babbel is the quick way to get conversational in a new language. Go to Babbel.com or download the app and try it for free. That's Babbel, B-A-B-B-E-L.com to try for free.
Thousands of children in the United States will be diagnosed with cancer this year.
Many right here in our own community.
That's why Q100.3 and Bicoastal Media continue to support St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and their efforts to end childhood cancer and other catastrophic illnesses.
We'd like to thank associate sponsors Herschel Jones & Associates, Angelo's Pizza, and Father & Son Jewelry.
Our St. Jude Radiothon, presented by Day Electric, is February 21st and 22nd.
If your business would like to support our efforts, contact us at Q1003.com.
The state of our border.
And we will have the wall.
The wall is an immorality.
The state of our economy.
The president threw us into this turmoil.
A growing economy.
Very good news.
The state of our politics.
We are being divided.
We must resist.
Really radical Democrats.
The state of our union.
The president of the United States.
The American people want to hear the truth.
The state of the union.
President Donald Trump.
In a moment as pivotal as this.
Live coverage Tuesday at 5 p.m.
The state of our union.
On KMED and KCMD. Never miss the Bill Maher Show. Download recent podcasts at BillMaherShow.com or KMED.com. Brought to you by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority. Driven by Linux on Airway Drive off Vilas.
Okay, we're loving this because Diner 62 just ended up having the breakfast delivered every Friday morning. Diner 62, and it's just great stuff. That's an Eggs Benedict?
That is the not the typical Eggs Benedict, but the Hollandaise sauce. They got their own spin on it, and it has the country gravy on it.
Uh-huh.
So we're looking at the Diner 62 Eggs Benedict here. I don't know if for the people that are doing the Facebook
I'm going to hold it up
camera.
Just so you can see. Do you see how much food is there, folks?
It's a monster.
It's a monster.
It's probably two breakfasts for, you know, unless you're...
Heck, it's three breakfasts.
You can eat that and be good till dessert
tonight.
I mean,
this is your entire... This is like all three meals, but that's the kind of generosity you get at Diner 62.
Yeah, two open-faced biscuits, topped with ham, two eggs, covered with country gravy.
All right, very
good.
With
hash browns.
All right. We'll be having a Diner 62 Real American Quiz a little bit later between 8 and 9. All right, so we're going to do that. And I just wanted to make sure because we didn't get a chance to do it yesterday. So you can win it and go get yourself one of those monsters yourself. Okay? All right.
Okay.
Diner 62, by the way, just south of White City on Highway 62. All right. Let us talk a little bit. We're back with Mr. X. And Mr. X, thanks for being flexible and allowing the breakfast plug to come in here. It's 7:52. So we were talking then and taking people down the path of what's going on with this Let It Burn. What about the health and welfare?
Well, this is the point at which I argue this. And what we have to go back to is what someone says is one thing. What's in writing regarding policy is another thing. And I always go to what's in writing. So I feel that if I know what is actually going to occur. So what I said before about the health, safety, and welfare thing, in this decision, okay, and this is important, and when you read these things, folks, you got to read them a couple times, but these things start to impact you in a way that you just have a hard time sleeping at night when you look at the decisions. But this says, number two, this is on page DN10, the degree to which the proposed actions affects public health
or safety.
So they address public safety here, health and safety. The amended management direction does not on its own authorize any ground-disturbing activities or direct changes to the environment. The decision does not have direct effects on human health and safety beyond those already documented in existing forest plan environmental impact statements and the site-specific analysis of ongoing projects and activities. Indirect effects to human health and safety are documented in Chapter 3 and Appendix D of the EA. That's the environmental analysis. Over time, safety of firefighters is expected to be enhanced as fire managers use
wildland fire
to decrease fuel loads and fire intensities over time. Risks to human health from smoke were also detailed in Chapter 3 and Appendix D of the EA, which concluded that these amendments are not likely to result in any additional risks to public health.
Now then, that is one of the biggest lies that I've seen from the federal government. And this is actually policy through the USDA and the Forest Service.
That's right.
Right. And they're saying that their Let It Burn policy is not impactful.
Right.
Had they talked to my friend who ended up dying a couple of years ago when the 2017 fire situation and the other people who have had asthma or shortened life or had to leave the area or the tourist industries that were challenged, some having to close. No impact. Their official policy is that the smoke is of no impact,
no measurable impact. And I find that just absolutely an absurdity. But I also look at it as they are addressing it with the legal backup saying there's no risk.
They don't have to prove this? They don't have to prove
through
that
the environmental analysis shows there's no risk. Then that's what he just said.
Well, the environmental analysis then is obviously flawed or a fraud.
That's right, because it uses the best available science, which agreed with the consensus model that put this program into place. Okay, the actual science on it, if you look at the actual effects on our population, on our people, to the health, safety, and welfare, is totally detrimental. And then you consider the economic harms.
So the let it burn, everything that they have in their policies, these fire amendments and so much more, they're frauds. They should be struck down.
Well, they did this with a way, in a way that would achieve what a small group of people believe is the right direction. And that's fine. You want to sit out there and say, oh, we have to do, we have to let it burn here. We have to do this. Not in the summertime, folks. That's it. And I go now to the Mail Tribune this morning. I picked this up on the way into your station, Bill. County commissioners, a front page headline, attack mode. County commissioners want full suppression of summer wildfires. That's a very misleading headline. And the Mail Tribune, to me, when they sit there and they go with their little red box, 121 days until fire season, and they've been doing this all the time, in this little red box, Mail Tribune is holding politicians accountable for clean air in Southern Oregon. This summer, millions of dollars were lost in our local economy. Children's, pets, and the elderly were locked up in their homes for weeks because of choking smoke. What are local politicians doing to solve this problem so we don't live in smoke? Well, what are they doing to help the local politicians solve it by putting a headline like that? The main crux of the county's argument, as I read it, comes out, they do mention it, is to just say no prescribed burning, no following a burn plan.
In other words, the
state fire marshal declares the beginning of fire season.
Once the fire, so that means that if you're going to do prescribed fire, fall, winter time, off season only.
That's right.
And when we're into the high fire season, you don't, well, like they did with the Klondike fire in Josephine
right.
County when it started burning, and they end up drawing a huge box around it and essentially let it burn throughout that because it would help their management plan.
Well, this
right?
is under fuels management.
Under fuels okay? management.
So they're it's obvious that it's the discretion and the ability for the managers to do these things,
right.
but they do it in a collaborative attempt to hide from us the actual pathway through these forest management non-governmental organizations that are out there doing the thing. But the bottom line is, the impactful thing to me is that Governor Brown gave $1.5 million to the same people who have put forth the actual documented plan of how to burn 4 million acres. So all she's doing is pushing the what they call the federal forest visioning process that they had through the Federal Forest Advisory Committee at the state level and coordinating with the federal government through the Portland base area on what they vision the federal forest land should look like.
And their visioning of what the federal forest land should look like is wildfire burning in the summertime when we have these ignitions.
We have to burn everything.
Yeah, we got to burn it all.
We have
all right.
to burn it all.
All right, let's take some quick calls, and then we're going to have to move quickly on this, folks. We'll have Mr. X back a little bit after the 8 o'clock break here. But Paul's in Williams. Paul, go ahead.
Yeah, most of the questions have been answered, but do they have any specific rules regarding the difference between a beneficial fire and a destructive fire, and summer and winter rules being different?
Well, in the document, they do address, the different levels and how it is detrimental to have the catastrophic. But the reality comes down to is that until it's cleared from being a catastrophic-type fuel load, we are at risk and danger. Now, the second
we have so much catastrophic fuel, you can't even do just a minor
right.
burn out there. Okay. All right. Let's go to Alan. Alan Ayer in Grants Pass. Alan, you're with Mr. X2. Go ahead.
Yes. Thank you for having me on, and appreciate what you're doing.
You bet.
When I shared and was arguing with them when they were trying to take all the dams out with the water and the moisture content, the same people were in charge and gave the money through the water board. Now the governor's allowing it to go through, quote, their group of people that are going to protect us through the fire burn. You got the same people on the same board. And their idea is to get the money from the governor, like she's it's a volunteer, it's $1 million of our taxpayer money, to turn around and give these guys wages during the summer to fan the idea that you're going to choke half of us to death and hoping half of us die because we can't breathe.
You couldn't have said it better. Okay, that's the point at which I have to fight, and that's the point that I get to a point where I look at different methodologies of saying, what can we do as citizens? Well, what we can do as citizens is support our county commissioners right now, because I believe that in the true path forward, what they did was one of the most critical aspects of what's happening. The second thing is to bring this information into the realm of the people who make decisions. Like I said, Kate Brown appointed Mr. Donegan here to the council. If he wants information on where this is, the hazards to our region is actually coming from, then hey, I'll forward it to him. We'll find a way to get it to him. We'll help you make that decision well before September 30th, right at the end of our fire season.
Yeah, you don't need to wait another 6 months or so to be able to come up with, here's what's happened. We know what's been happening.
That's exactly right.
All right.
We have to start a pathway to protect ourselves through education, through understanding, and consideration of all of the relevant information. Now, I'm looking at the prudence of forest managers, all of the Forest Service, all of the people that are there under an actual position. What we have to do is lobby our congressmen, our senators, to address this so that the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the lead man at the USDA, makes a different decision. That he changes it relative to certain things that protect the health, safety, and welfare, and get rid of the input that these people, because it's a collaborative effort locally, we can burn it past the beginning of fire season.
Nope.
I'm sorry. This whole fire plan has to change. This whole concept of acceptance of this type of mentality has to change. If these people want to restore our forests, let them go out and work their behinds off and do it in a manual way. If they want to clear the fuel and then do a prescribed burn in a time of season that's not going to choke us out. That's the reality of what has to occur. But in the same article about Governor Brown, I was at the meeting. The state fire marshal gave a little bit, quite a talk. But he was saying, I think $100 million would be, close to what they need to start. So we have to go to that understanding. It's going to take more than $1 million to do it right.
Okay.